Well, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 6 tonight. Matthew chapter 6. In verse 5, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Our text tonight, verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Let's ask God's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, again, I thank you for the privilege it is to be here this evening. I thank you, Lord, for this church, Lord. I'm just so grateful for Faith Baptist Tabernacle and for these dear folks. And Lord, I thank you for the Sunday that we've had and for this time that we can worship you and make you a priority in our lives here this evening. And Lord, as we have read this verse, I pray, Lord, that you would open up our hearts. Lord, as Psalm 119:18, open thou mine eyes and behold wondrous things out of thy law. Lord, I ask that you would speak to us specifically. Lord, that you would give us exactly what we need to hear, that when we leave this service tonight, that none of us would doubt or be vague as to what it is that you want us to do based on this verse and what you've spoken to our hearts about. I pray for Pastor and Mrs. Rogers as they're away right now, that you would empower him as he's preaching your word, and that you would give him wisdom and understanding, and that you would use him there in that church to minister to those people. Lord, you have given him something specific that they need to hear. And I pray that they would have tender hearts as well, and that you would meet with them in a very real way and encourage them and strengthen this church. May you continue to use Pastor and Mrs. Rogers while they're away. May you give them the time that they need together, and may you bring them back refreshed and ready to get back here into this place. Thank you, Lord, again for this night that we have to be here this evening. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Years ago, we had a Christian school here at the church, and I graduated from the Christian school. And I think it was my senior year that we decided, or somebody decided, that we were going to have a formal banquet. Now, the school was not a big school. We had, I don't know, 30, 40 kids that were in the school. And a formal banquet was a great idea to the girls, but not so much to the guys. They were less ecstatic about that opportunity. And so not only did we not want to go to a formal banquet and get all dressed up, but the place where they wanted to have it, had this banquet, it's no longer in existence, but it's called Fresh Choice. Fresh Choice is where you have salads and soups, and doesn't that sound exciting? And so they wanted to have this at Fresh Choice. Now, you've got to think with me, being a teenager, would you really want to have a formal banquet at a soup and salad place? Fresh Choice, no. Pizza Hut might be, Pizza Hut, yes. Fresh Choice, no. And so I didn't want to go because it was a formal banquet. I didn't want to go because it was at Fresh Choice. But then I didn't want to go because there was a girl in the school that at the time liked me and would relish the thought of us going together, which would never happen in a million years. And so I didn't want to go because, she was going and all of that. And so my friend Scott and I both had the same feelings about the whole matter. And we decided we're going to get a game plan. And what we were going to do was go to Scandia, not tell anybody we weren't coming, but just not show up. And we were going to go to Scandia together, play games and so on. And so I don't know how the word got out, but somehow the word got out that Tim and Scott were not going to this Valentine's banquet. They're at Fresh Choice. Well, Pastor Rogers then found out about that and called us into his office. And so we go into his office. I knew what he was going to say. He says, now, I have heard that you and Tim, he's talking to Scott, you and Tim are planning on not coming to the Valentine's banquet. He says, I cannot force you to go, but I'm forcing you to go. And he says, you guys are leadership here at the school, and you need to be an example. Now, I knew that Pastor was going to say to us that we needed to go, but I had a card in the back of my pocket that I thought was a great excuse. It was just a few weeks before that Pastor was burdened to have the church fast and pray. Every day, have a sign-up sheet, someone in the church fasting and praying every single day for the church. And so I was mercifully given the day, the exact day of the Valentine's banquet. And so I said, Pastor, I cannot come. Because I'm going to be fasting and praying for the church that day. And he says, all right, come, but don't eat. And so there was no way of getting around and not being able to go to this Valentine's banquet. And we went that night and we just showed up, I don't know, 30 minutes or so. And it was about as much fun as we thought we were going to have. And then we left and we went to Scandia and played the games and so on. Now, when I was in Pastor's office and I was telling him, oh, I'm going to be fasting and praying for the church, you know what I was? I was a big hypocrite. I was going to fast, but I wasn't going to be fasting and praying. I was going to be fasting and playing. I was going to be at Scandia. And I thought that I was some spiritual person by saying I was going to fast and pray for the church. You know, it's amazing sometimes how spiritual we think that we are. He says here in verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Now, he's contrasting verse 6 with verse 5. He says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. So often we are hypocritical. We say one thing, but do another. And so he's contrasting the hypocrites with someone that is a person that is faithful in praying. So in verse 6 it says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter in to thy closet. I love going to spring training. I haven't been in several years, but I love going to spring training there in Surprise, Arizona to watch the Kansas City Royals. And, you know, all 200 of us Royals fans meet together there in Surprise and talk about the Royals. It's just a great time. And, you know, you get to see them practicing. You hear them talking to each other and hollering at each other and things. I just love it because you're just right there with those players. And, you know, when those players, as they're practicing, you know what they're practicing? They're not practicing the great diving catches. They're not practicing all of the great things that they do during a game. What are they going to? The basics. They're hitting ground ball, fielding ground ball after ground ball after ground ball, fly ball after fly ball after fly ball. They're just going back to the basics over and over again. There was a player on the Royals just this past week that dropped the ball, an outfielder. You think, man, this guy, you know, professional baseball player, I mean, these are the best in the world. How can he drop the ball? Well, one of the fundamentals in baseball is you look the ball into the glove. And 9 times out of 10, sometimes 10 out of 10, when you go and they show a replay of a player dropping the ball, he's got his eye maybe upon the runner that's going to be leaving at that base, and he doesn't have his eye on the ball. He's got to first catch the ball. You see, there's some basics, and oftentimes in our Christian life, it's that we fail in the basics. We fail in those fundamental things. We don't have the discipline in our life to pray. And I want to preach a message entitled, The Disciplines of Prayer. The Disciplines of Prayer. And we see five disciplines in this matter of prayer in verse 6. He says, but thou, when thou prayest. Number one, we have the discipline of time. You see, he's saying there is going to be a time when you pray. It's not if you pray, it's when you pray. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We have the discipline of time. We need to make it, letter A priority. We need to make it a priority in our lives. Psalm 5 and verse 3 says, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Martin Luther said, I have so much to do today that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer. You think, man, well, if you've got so much to do, why waste your time praying? He's saying, I can't get the things accomplished that need to be done without spending those 3 hours in prayer. So often we neglect prayer in the morning. Someone wrote this poem, I met God in the morning when my day was at its best, and His presence came like sunrise, like a glory in my breast. All the day long the presence lingered, All day long he stayed with me, and we sailed with perfect calmness o'er the troubled sea. Other ships, they were blown and battered. Other ships were sore distressed. But the winds that seemed to drive them brought to me a peace and rest. Then I thought of other mornings with a keen remorse of mine, when I too had left the moorings with the presence left behind. So I think I know the secret, learn many from a troubled way. You must seek God in the morning if you want Him through the day. We need to spend time in the morning praying. Now I know that different people have different schedules, and I think of Peter that he worked late last night, and you know he's got to sleep and things. He wasn't able to make it this morning. Are you okay tonight? All right, good. You know what? I can mess my tie up a little bit. If there's a tie that looks like that, he's going to be focused on that the entire time, and so that will keep him alert and attentive if I keep my tie like that. You know, sometimes it's hard to get up in the morning. You have different schedules, and maybe the Lord would want you to just get up maybe 10 or 15 minutes earlier just so that you can spend some time in prayer. But again, it's not just prayer in the morning. It's prayer throughout the day. It's not just spending time in God's Word that morning in devotions, but you need to be thinking about it throughout the day. And so here we need to make it a priority. Psalm 42 and verse 1 says, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Psalm 63 and verse 1, "O Lord, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary." And so here we need to make it a priority. Someone said, a day without prayer is a boast against God. A day without prayer is a boast against God. You say, "God, I don't need you today. I can handle this day in my life without you." That's what, in essence, we're saying when we don't spend time in prayer with the Lord. So make it a priority, but then make it a pattern. Daniel had that pattern. People knew that Daniel was going to be praying. We see that over and over again, he is there morning, noon, and night, he is praying. I think about my grandmother that has a testimony in her church that she is a prayer warrior. She is their secret weapon. Do people know that you pray? Does your spouse know that you pray? Do your kids know that you pray? Do others know that you are a person of prayer? Psalm 86 and verse 3 says, "Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily." Colossians 4 and verse 2 says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." You can work without praying, but you cannot pray without working. True praying requires strength. It is laborious when you get into the prayer closet and praying. It is something that is difficult. And we get attacked, I believe, in our spiritual disciplines more in prayer than in any other place in our life. It's easier to be faithful in many other spiritual disciplines, such as coming to church, reading the Bible, going out soul winning, than it is to have and maintain a consistent prayer life. And so we need to have that pattern in our life. So there's a discipline of time, but then we have the discipline of a place. He says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet." Now this is a specific place. There is a specific place that God wants to meet with you. There's a specific appointment, a time where God wants to spend with you, a place where it's just you and Him. We'll get to it in just a moment, where you're going to shut the door. Here is the closet, our prayer closet that we come with that term from. He says, "Enter into thy closet." There is a specific place. There have been times, of course, in my life, my life is very flexible. I don't have the same schedule every week, and different things come up. And so my prayer closet could be in my office there in the house. It could be in my car. It could be in another closet, in another house, in another place. You know, I'm thinking about a place in Arizona right now. When I go there, that's my prayer closet. I get in this big closet and pray. And there's all kinds of places that God has had me to have as a prayer closet. Where is your prayer closet? Where is it that you go specifically to meet with God, to spend time to where there are no distractions? Leonard Ravenhill said, What a man is in his prayer closet, that he is, and no more. That is so true. What a man is in his prayer closet, that he is, and no more. He went on to say, no man is greater than his prayer life. My ministry is nothing without prayer. The Lord has reminded me that time and time again, that without prayer, my ministry is nothing. Without prayer in this church is nothing. I believe the reason why God worked so powerfully Monday and Tuesday was because of prayer. There were people that I know of that have been fasting and praying for those 2 days. It wasn't just because all of a sudden David Gibbs shows up that something happened. No, it's prayer. There's a lot of prayer behind that. I think of that phrase, no prayer, no power. Little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. There was much prayer behind those 2 days because there was much power. And I'd encourage you with the same thing with the men's meeting. Again, much prayer, much power. And so here we have the discipline of a place. There's a specific place that God wants to meet with you. And then we have number three, the discipline of attention. The discipline of time, of a place, and then attention. He says, and when thou hast shut thy door. It's so easy to be distracted. I heard that over 100 times a day we look at our phones. And, we get so distracted on all kinds of things these days. And God wants us to shut that door, to eliminate the distractions, to where it's just you and God, to where He has all of your attention and you're not distracted by any of those other things. There's a sweet presence in a place when you get alone with God and you have that attention of the Lord. And Psalm 91:1 says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. When I was in high school, God had worked in my heart at Camp Lucerne many years ago, and the Lord was calling me to preach my very first message, and I got separated from my youth group, and I got placed with another youth group for a devotional time that night, and so people gave testimonies of what God was working in their hearts about. When they came to me, I said, I'm speechless, because God had just done so much in my heart, And so this youth leader, he didn't know me. The kids didn't know me at all. He says, all right, well, since you're speechless, why don't you close us in prayer? Well, for several years in the youth group, the youth pastor would ask me, Tim, would you please lead us in prayer? And my response every single time would be, shake my head no and put my head down. And every single time they would ask me, I'd say no, I wouldn't do it. And now I'm in this situation to where this youth pastor doesn't know me. I can't just shake my head. No, I've got to pray. And I don't know what to pray. I don't know how to pray in public. And so I began to pray what was on my heart. And it was then the Lord showed me that's what I need to do when I pray in public. You pray what's on your heart. And after that, I was okay to pray in the youth group. So you pray what's on your heart. This God, again, is a personal God. He wants you to pour out your heart to Him. He knows everything about you. He wants to spend time with you. He longs to have that fellowship and that intimacy with you. He wants your heart to be united with His, to be one with His. And so we have the discipline of attention to eliminate the distractions so that we can focus wholly upon the Lord. That's why we close our eyes. We want to eliminate the distractions. Sometimes when people sing, I was thinking when I sang Bow the Knee Tuesday night, there were people that were looking up. There were other people that had their eyes closed because they closed their eyes or they look away because they don't want to be distracted by who it is that's singing. They want to think about what the words are saying, the song and the message. They don't want to be distracted by those other things. And so we need to eliminate the distractions in our lives and put our focus back on the Lord. A sinning man will stop praying, and a praying man will stop sinning. When we fail in prayer, we fail everywhere. All failures are prayer failures. And so we have this discipline of attention. And then he says, when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which seeth in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. We have the discipline of affection. Pray to thy Father. Romans 8 and verse 15 says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again into fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. He is our heavenly Father. John 1:12, but as many as received Him, to the end gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And so we have a personal relationship with the Father. We are His children. He is our Father. And we need to have the discipline of affection. When I was working at Sears Automotive many years ago, there was another man that I knew that professed that he was saved. And I was telling him about a potential job opportunity, but it was going to require some physical labor and things. And at the time, I'd been recovering over my knee, had been blown out. I had a torn meniscus, a torn ACL, and bone fractures. So I wasn't quite sure as my knee was healing and things. And he says, "Oh, I didn't know you had a bad knee." He says, "You know, why don't we pray? And, have God heal you that knee." And so he just all of a sudden he starts praying there in Sears, and fully expecting that after he's done praying, he's going to, you know, my knee's going to be completely healed. I'll have no problem with it at all ever again. And so when he begins to pray, he says, "Dear Dad." And I'm thinking, okay, you know, I know that He's our Father, but He just treated him so flippantly. He didn't give him the affection and the adoration that he deserves. He says here in verse 9, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." His name is holy. And we need to approach Him boldly, but approach Him as He is our holy Lord God. He is our heavenly Father. After he got done praying, another coworker came up to him, and we just got done praying, and he said to this guy, "Mike, I really don't appreciate that you called me," and then he said a cuss word. And boy, that guy got all red. Here he had just been praying, but just before that, he had been cussing out another coworker of ours. And that prayer didn't go anywhere. He didn't, you know, my knee wasn't completely healed. He didn't have that affection. He didn't realize that, you know, God is a holy God. Your sins have to separate us between us and the Lord. God cannot let any sin into His presence, and we need to make sure that we are clean before Him so we can get a hold of the ear of God. So the discipline of affection. And then, lastly, the discipline of reward. He says, "And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." And in the Greek, this is a statement of fact. This is something that you can count on. It's also specific. He says, "which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." I think of Isaiah 65:24. It says, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear." Have you ever had that happen, that you haven't even prayed it yet, and yet God answered the request? Several of us can give testimony of God doing that. Now, in context, in that Isaiah 65:24, it speaks of the new earth, but God's done that today. He knows what we need before we even ask it. Jeremiah 33:3, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Someone said, "Do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger people. Do not pray for tasks equal to your past powers. Pray for powers equal to your tasks. Then the doing of your work shall be no miracle, but you shall be a miracle. Every day you shall wonder at yourself the richness of life which has come to you by the grace of God." Psalm 34:15 says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry." I'm so glad that we can go directly to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, whose resources are not limited. No, He is omnipotent. He is all powerful. Prayer is just as big as God is. We can go to Him. We can pour out our hearts to Him and just give our whole self to Him. James 5:17 says, "Elias was a man subject like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Here's Elias that's praying for this, and God answers his prayer. One of the men that I think of that's strong in prayer George Mueller. George Mueller, he was praying for different things, and God would see him. He would have the orphanage kids come to the table and pray for the breakfast, and there was no food. And they said, where's the food? Well, God's going to provide us food. And just believing that God was going to do that. And after he's done praying, there's a knock on the door that a milk truck had broken down and a bread truck also. And the kids had something to eat. And time and time again, God answered George Mueller's request. Someone, Dr. A.T. Pearson, told the story of going up to Mr. Mueller and asking him, has there ever been a request that God has not answered? And he said, 62 years, 3 months, 5 days, and 2 hours have passed, replied Mr. Mueller with his characteristic exactness. He says, since I've been praying for 2 men that they might be saved. He says, I pray daily for them ever since, and I see no signs of them turning to God. Dr. Pearson said, well, do you expect God to convert them? And he says, absolutely. He says, why would God burden me so much for them for these 60 years if he had no purpose in their conversion? Mr. Mueller died before hearing about those 2 men coming to know Christ as their Savior. But it was Dr. Pearson that was able to find out that those 2 men had come to know Christ after his death. Even though Mr. Mueller didn't see the answers to prayer here on this earth, though he did believe, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, now they're rejoicing in heaven. There was another man, Dr. A.C. Dixon, made this statement. He says, when we rely upon organization, we get what organization can do. When we rely upon education, we get what education can do. When we rely upon eloquence, we get what eloquence can do, and so on. He says, I am not disposed to undervalue any of those things in their proper place. But he added impressively, when we rely upon prayer, we get what God can do. And you know, I want to see God do a great work in our church. I want to see God continue to do a great work in our church. God to do a great work at the men's meeting there in November. And I want to rely upon God, not just all these other things, even though they are important in themselves. I have here on my finger something that's very precious to me. It's my college ring. When I went to college, I loved being at Ambassador Baptist College. And, of course, they had many classes. And there wasn't one class that I thought this was a waste of my time. There were some classes I loved so much that I took them twice. I failed them. There were classes I thought, man, how in the world am I going to pass this? I remember being in music theory. How in the world am I going to pass music theory? I was the only guy that didn't know how to play the piano, and it was just very difficult and things, but somehow I passed with a C. And most of my classes were B's and C's, and I remember when I graduated that night, and after the service, my mom and I were hugging each other, and she was crying, and she says, Tim, I didn't think that you'd ever graduate college. I'm like, great, thanks, Mom. You know, thanks for the confidence booster there. And you know, to be honest, there were times where I would think, Lord, how am I going to do this? I'd fail these classes. I would be crying in my car saying, God, I don't see. You haven't called me here to fail. I'm not sure how I'm going to be able to pass these classes. And I was really struggling through school. And when after I graduated, Megan bought this ring for me. And it reminds me of just God being faithful and just all the different trials and things that I went through. And so I'm reminded of this and how God helped me to succeed and eventually pass and graduate college. A couple of years ago, I'd lost this ring. I didn't know where it was at. And so I put it on my prayer list. I mean, I looked everywhere. Lord, where is it at? I've asked him. Lord, you know where it's at. I don't know where it's at. Please show me where it's at. And these things aren't cheap. I mean, you know, they cost a couple of $100s. And so I would pray every single day, Lord, help me find this ring. And I kept praying. Months went on to where finally I would just kind of say, Lord, help me find the ring and move on to something else. I prayed, I believe, for almost 2 years for this ring. And one night, we had gotten a couch a couple of years ago. And so they had one of these pull-out beds. I'd never seen it before, never really used it. I'm like, you know, I'm gonna try this. You know, I looked under the couch before, but it had slipped in that pull-out bed. And when I pulled it out, there it was. And I remember back to my time with the Lord that morning that I just prayed, Lord, help me find the ring. And now this ring is a token for me from the Lord to keep praying. You know, sometimes we quit too soon. Maybe there's something in your life that you've been discouraged about praying for. Don't stop praying. Keep praying. Keep going on. Keep praying to the Lord. And this reminds me not only of graduating college and God being faithful, but it reminds me to keep on praying. There's a song a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Evertson from Woodland, he had called me up and he was asking me to have a time to speak that Monday night at the meeting to encourage the pastors in praying. And he says, "Tim, have you ever heard this song?" He says, I want you to listen to this song." And so he starts just singing it over the phone to me. And I thought that was kind of funny, but he's just singing it over to the phone and he's trying to play it. I can't hear the song. And eventually I find it, and downloaded the song and started listening to it. And he says, "Tim, you need to sing this song." And as I was looking at it and things, I'm like, you know what? Pastor Evertson and I share a lot of the similar hearts. And this kind of, Megan and I were looking at this a little while ago, and this song just kind of goes right along with this matter of prayer and spending time with the Lord. Now, I've never sung this song, but why don't we go ahead and I'm going to try to sing this song for you. And it's called "I'm Amazed." And just some neat words and a neat concept that it talks about. In God's heart there's a place that I was made to fill. I find amazing grace when I'm found within His will. And He's reserved a sacred place where we can spend the day. And He's waiting there for me, inviting me to stay. And every day I'm amazed that God would spend the day with me. I'm overwhelmed by His grace that He would feel such love for me. To Him I'm worth saving, and my heart is craving to know Him and His righteousness and understand His ways. Every day, in every way, I'm amazed. In my heart there's a place that only God can fill. He covers my disgrace with the blood that Jesus spilled. And He invites me to a place where we can spend the day. And He's waiting there for me, inviting me to stay. And every day I'm amazed that God would spend the day with me. I'm overwhelmed by His grace that He would feel such love for me. To Him I'm worth saving, and my heart is craving to know Him and His righteousness and understand His ways. Every day, in every way, I'm amazed. In every day, in every way, I'm amazed. I love the words. You know, in God's heart, there's a place that I was made to fill. You see, there's a God that longs to spend time with you. There's a God that wants to have that special time, that discipline of time, the discipline of a place. There's a specific place He wants to spend with you. He says, "I'm amazed, I find amazing grace when I'm found within His will, and He's reserved a sacred place where we can spend the day. And He's waiting there for me, inviting me to stay. We have the discipline of attention, the discipline of affection, the discipline of reward. And then the next verse talks about in my heart, there's a place that only God can fill. He covers my disgrace with the blood that Jesus spilled. And He invites me to a place where we can spend the day. And He's waiting there for me, inviting me to stay. How is your prayer life tonight? What area on those five lists do you need to work on? We have asked God to speak to us specifically. What are the specific things that God wants you to do in this matter of prayer? Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You that we don't just have a religion, but we have a relationship with You. That we can come to You and pour our hearts out to You. Lord, how You've changed so many times our lives, our thinking. You've encouraged us when we've been discouraged, where we've been confused. You've cleared things up by spending time with You. And I pray that You would shrive into all of our hearts a passion, Lord, not just to know about You, but to know You. Not just to go through a prayer list, but to really pray and speak to, let You speak to our hearts and us to pour our hearts out to You. Lord, we've asked You to speak to us specifically. And so, Lord, as we've talked about with invitation and responding, I pray, Lord, that You would help us to respond in humility to You. That we would do what it is that You want us to do. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.